Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, don't forget to check out my blog. Hope you'll do that. It's on the website on the top left-hand corner. Check that out. And also, you can go directly to the blog by going to jimsblog.biz. Michael Hepworth is our guest. He's the president of the Results Exchange Organization, which is a lead generation company. He's a marketing consultant in Canada. They call him Mr. Small Business Marketing. He's our good friend. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Good. It's good to have you back, as always, Michael. One of the things you want to talk about today, Michael, is the importance of working more on our business and less in our business. And you say that the way we do that is by acquiring and using leverage. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, Jim, I think the most important thing that people need to realize is that time is our most finite asset in business. And if we're not working on our highest and best use of time at any one point in time, we're actually wasting that time and it's gone.
It's the only commodity we haven't figured out how to synthesize.
Absolutely. And so you don't find time for important things. You have to make time for important things. And so what you hear from entrepreneurs very often is, I'm too busy, I'm busy and broke, I'm juggling too many balls, I don't own my business, it owns me.
I work for my employees.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the one that rings in the ears of small business owners all the time. My employees don't work for me, I work for them.
And that's a sure sign that you haven't got leverage. And there are three areas I think that you need to get leverage on. One is your time, the second is your marketing, and the third is on your assets and other people's assets. And I don't mean financial assets in that respect. I mean, one of the examples I would give you is that how do you leverage somebody else's customer base with an endorsement so you can get in and take advantage of their investment and their customer base that
right.
They may have spent millions of dollars doing.
Right. Well, let's talk about how do we do this. How do we do the first one?
The first one is time. The first thing I think you've got to do is you've got to stop managing days and you've got to start managing weeks. My view is that you need to block off time. First of all, you block time off. I think you need to take more time off than rather than less time. So time off is sacrosanct. Put that in first. And then the way I've worked...
Now, when you say time off, you mean literally time for us, no work.
Time away from the business.
Uh-huh.
And so, for example, in the summer, I don't work Fridays. And I go up to my boat and I boat and use the weekend for regeneration. That's when you get your best ideas. If you ever ask anybody, where do you get your best ideas? Nobody will ever tell you that they get them at work. It's in the shower.
It's not possible to get those great ideas in the trenches, is it?
That's correct. And the most valuable work that we do as entrepreneurs is generating ideas. So we need time to do that. So the second thing we need to do is take time to work on the business. So my view is that you should use at least one day a week to work on the business and then 3 or 4 days a week to actually be doing the things that actually generate money. So that's one way you get leverage.
Now, one of the challenges that we got, though, there, Michael, is that most small businesses, you know, try as we might to partition our lives in the way that you've described, most small businesses just don't cooperate all that well with that plan. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get to that point, but how do we get from where we are, which is not where you want us to be, to where you want us to be? How do we make that transition? Because you can't just flip a switch, Michael.
No, you can't, and that is the trouble. You've got to begin to evolve it. For example, you have got to have employees that you can trust and delegate things to.
And you have to delegate.
Yes, absolutely.
Otherwise, you're screwed, aren't you?
Delegation is one of the most important things, and one of the biggest mistakes that I think people make is thinking that they don't, being in a one-man business, for example, they don't have anybody to delegate to, and so they get the milk and they do the photocopying and things like that. But if you're trying to earn a salary out of your time, if you do work that is inexpensive work that somebody else could do, it's taking you away from productive tasks that you could do. So it's always an investment to get somebody to do those kind of tasks. Hire a student, hire somebody part-time, get that work done, or do it at a time when you're not actually making money. That way, you focus your time on the things that make money. And I think this is the big thing for entrepreneurs. They get too busy. Mm-hmm. They get too many things going.
Well, it's because, Michael, it's because we were the first ones to do all these things.
Yes, correct. But that's a trap. And the issue is it's better to have somebody do an 80% job of something that's not mission critical to the organization than for you to do a 100% job of that.
I have a little saying that I come up with to encourage small business owners to outsource, and that is to ask yourself, must this task be done in house? And if it doesn't have to be done in house, let somebody else do it. I think that will help with your time situation. But the other thing we might be able to apply that same kind of thinking to what you're talking about is you can say to yourself, must this task be done by me?
Absolutely. That's
and if the question is no, then you need to let somebody else do it.
Even if it's
somebody who's not an employee.
Absolutely. They don't need to be an employee for a lot of the things that you're doing. But this is a problem also for people who have multiple employees. They do things that they shouldn't be doing, and they need to make sure that they put structures and processes in place to enable employees to do things. And what I always suggest is that people actually get each employee to document the process. So if they leave, you have a documented process that they're using, and then you use that to improve. Perfection is not possible. Improvement is. So you can improve every process on a daily basis. But to think that you can get to perfection is a mistake, and I think that's one of the biggest problems that people have with employees. They expect employees to do a perfect job.
I'd like to say that, as you say, perfection is not possible. We should be don't seek perfection. Seek excellence, and that's what you were talking about.
Well, yeah, but I always think it excellence is important. But the thing is, what you need to look from employees is improvement. What we need to recognize that improvement is as important as perfection. If you can ever get to it, as you say, you can't get to it, and I agree with that.
All right, what's next?
Well, the second thing then is marketing. The interesting thing about marketing that most people don't understand is it costs you the same to field an ad or have a salesperson out in the field that generates one or two sales as it does to have somebody that generates 5 or 10 sales or an ad that generates 5 or 10 sales. So the key is understanding what the leverage points are in your marketing and making sure that you actually drive up the effectiveness of it. So, for example, if you have a Yellow Pages ad.
Michael, hold on to that Yellow Pages thought. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend Michael Hepworth. He is the president of the Results Exchange. He's also, in Canada, Mr. Small Business Marketing. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. After the hour, Michael Hepworth is our guest and our good friend. Michael, give us your website, please.
It's results-exchange.com.
Now, tell us about your company. What do you guys, remind us what you do, and tell us how my audience would benefit from what you do.
Well, our business is creating lead smart generation strategies for entrepreneurial business, but I think the way your audience can benefit most from what I do is we have a newsletter that focuses on lead generation and this topic of leverage. And if they wanted to sign up for it, they simply need to visit my website, sign up for the newsletter. It's absolutely free, and they will get every 2 weeks they'll get some practical tips on how to do this more effectively.
Well, thank you for making that available for free, and that's results-exchange.com.
Correct.
All right, folks, check out that website. Check out the email. I mean the newsletter. There's a good tip for you. All right, let's get back into leverage, Michael, and we talked about time. You kind of helped us get squared away with time, and now we're talking about marketing, and you were telling us about a Yellow Pages scenario.
Yeah, well, let's use this as an example of leverage. As I said, it costs you the same to put an ad in the Yellow Pages that generates one or two responses as it does to put an ad in that generates, you know, twice or three or four times that amount.
Which it would if you did it on the radio, right, Michael?
Well, it's the same with any kind of marketing. It could be radio advertising.
But radio is much better than everything else, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right, now move on. Go ahead.
Okay, so what happens is most people simply, when they do a Yellow Pages ad, they do what I call name, rank, and serial number. So they have, you know, big company name, a bunch of benefits, which are pretty much the same as everybody else's.
The billboard thing.
Yeah, that's right. And then a big telephone number, and they're pretty much the same. Well, if you want to get a better result, you need to differentiate yourself from the competition. We don't have time to go into how to do that right now, but you can do much better advertising than your competition. Offer something free, maybe, you know, to draw people in, give them some reason to contact you, and you can actually double or triple the response rate you get, but it actually costs you exactly the same to do that. So that's an example of marketing leverage.
All right.
And you can do this in many, many different areas. As I say, if your salespeople are not closing enough or anything like that. So there are probably 5 points of marketing leverage. One is the number of prospects you generate. The second is the conversion rate of the prospects that you have. The third is the amount that they spend with you each time. The fourth is the number of times a year they buy from you. And the fifth is the margin that you charge. All of those are points of leverage in the marketing.
What about a sixth one, which would be them becoming evangelists for you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, referrals and testimonials are probably one of the most important forms of leverage.
That's what small business owners have to have, because we can never out-advertise Walmart and all the other guys. We can never out-market the big guys. All we can do is just love up our customers and do such a good job that they do a lot of that work for us.
Absolutely. And the one thing that's interesting about referrals that most people don't realize is that the average close rate on a normal sale where people have come to you from a non-referral source is about 10%. From referrals, it's about 50%.
Yeah.
So there's a 5 times leverage point.
It's dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'll remind you folks what someone told me many, many years ago, Michael. You know, if you do a good job for somebody, they'll probably tell somebody. If you do a bad job for somebody, they'll tell 100 people.
They certainly will.
What's the third point of leverage?
The third point of leverage is getting access to other people's underutilized and underleveraged assets, and also doing the same with your own underutilized and underleveraged assets. So let me give you an example. If you know an organization that has the same kind of clients that you do, and you have something that they would value, you can go to the owner of that business and say, look, I've got a deal for you. We'll do a revenue sharing deal where if you promote my products and services to your customers, I'll split the profits with you. That way you get access to that business owner's investment in their customer base. Now, I don't know how many millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars or even tens of thousands of dollars that organization may have spent on building their customer base, but you can bet it's a lot of money. Well, you can tap into that asset, and you can help them actually monetize that expenditure. So that's another reason why they'd be keen to do it, because their underutilized asset in this case is their client base. They are only selling what they currently sell to that client base.
Well, what you're talking about is building a strategic alliance, and that's
strategic alliances.
That's one of the most important things. Or I also call it aggregation. It's one of the most important things a small business owner can do to work on their business. Of all the things, folks, that Michael has talked about, all of which are important and I encourage you to do, this is the one that I think, Tom, is the best example of low-hanging fruit.
There's no question that it is. And in fact, one of the businesses that I had before I started this one, which I sold, was built entirely on this strategy. It was a single marketing strategy, and we had alliances with people like Lucent, Nortel, Avaya, Cisco, and they, through this organization, gave us access to their client base, not directly but indirectly. They promoted what we were doing to their client bases and drove customers to us. We never even saw their customer lists or anything like that, and they wouldn't have given them to us, but it's not necessary to do that.
Right.
We provided them with all the materials, they promoted it, and they promoted our business, and we had a very successful business.
There's a success story for you, Tom, and I'm going to have to stop you. Give us your website one more time, please.
It's results-exchange.com.
Don't forget to subscribe to his newsletter. It's free. Thank you, Michael, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Michael Hepworth, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Quick break. I'll be right back with our good friend Paula Lovell right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
grinning awful fix.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.